basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Hello, everybody. It's Jim Maceno and College Hoops Chat here at WVOX 1460 AM, New Rochelle's terrific community radio station. So we're here every Monday night. The show is College Hoops Chat, and we have a really good time, and we got a great show for tonight. And tonight we have the assistant coach from the University of Pittsburgh, former coach of Fairfield, former player at Stepanak, Tim O'Toole, calling in. He's calling from Pittsburgh tonight. Where's the assistant coach for the Pittsburgh Panthers? So, great show. All right. So, let's get into the issues before we get our first call from Coach. Selection show, believe it or not, the NCAA tournament selection show is in 12 days and 20 hours. How about that? Like, I can't believe we're actually going to make it. It's an unpredictable season. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be an unpredictable NCAA tournament. I'll give you an example. About a week ago, everybody was saying Ohio State was a team that's probably going to make the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. As soon as they start saying that, the experts start giving them that prediction. They lose three in a row. Lose to Michigan State, Michigan, and Iowa. That's the season we're having. Here's another one. Boston College fires their coach. A bunch of players say they're going to transfer. The program's in chaos. On Saturday, they go out and beat Notre Dame. It's a crazy, unpredictable season, folks. And I'm telling you now, this tournament's going to be nuts. Be a lot of upsets. I had a great Saturday, just so you all know. I went into Saturday hoping for three teams to win. I wanted Michigan to beat Indiana. Not that I'm such a big Michigan fan, but Indiana was a bubble team with some teams I want to go to the tournament. So I wanted Michigan to knock them out, and they did. Thank you, Michigan Wolverines. They beat Indiana 73-57 on Saturday. Enjoyed that game. Then I watched one of my teams I root for, the North Carolina Tar Heels. They played Florida State, who's probably the best team in the ACC, and they beat them 78-70. They played really well. Big win for the North Carolina Tar Heels. Young team, a ton of freshmen and sophomores in the rotation. They're getting better as the season goes on, and the Tar Heels upset Florida State on Saturday night. And third, my law school, University of Buffalo, beat Ohio. Ohio's good. They're real good. And Buffalo beat them 86-66. Big win for Buffalo. The other game on Saturday, I got to mention, I watched the game. I rooted for Baylor to beat Kansas. Kansas did win. It was Baylor's first game back after a shutdown. It's their first loss of the season. Baylor was unbeaten. They were the number two team all year in the KenPom poll. He has an algorithm I talk about all the time, the best way to rank teams, college basketball. KenPom, they slipped to number three. Michigan jumped them. Baylor's been number two all season after Gonzaga. Baylor's still really good, and they could win the whole darn thing. But they don't look too good coming out of their shutdown for COVID. They were shut down for a couple of weeks. I'm so bummed. I didn't see the game. It happened this afternoon or early evening. My St. Bonaventure Bonnies, we talk about them all the time on this show. They had their final regular season game tonight. They were 13-3. We learned yesterday they won the Atlanta 10 Conference regular season title. Yes, St. Bonaventure Bonnies won the A-10. They lost tonight to Dayton. Now, Dayton's a good program. They should have won that game. They lost 55-52, really low-scoring game. I don't know what the heck happened. I think they celebrated too much yesterday, got all excited about winning the Atlantic 10, and they lost their next game. But that doesn't really matter at this point. They won the regular season. Now they got to go into the Atlantic 10 tournament and do well. All right, couple things for our call. St. John's Red Storm, we talk about them on this show all the time. They got a big week. I don't think they can make the NCAA tournament at this point. They have a very long shot. But if they want any hope of getting a shot, of getting the NCAA tournament, they've got two games they got to win. Wednesday night against Providence, Saturday night against Seton Hall. Both winnable games, both losable games for St. John's. I'll be watching both games. I'm going to watch Providence game with Kenny from Rye, who went to Providence. We're going to watch that by Zoom. Ionis off until the MAC conference next week. March 8th. So we'll wait for the Iona Gales to come out of their latest COVID shutdown next week for the MAC conference tournament. North Carolina, they're playing Syracuse as we speak. I'm taping the game. Big game for them tonight. And then Saturday night, folks, you want a game to watch? Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Duke and North Carolina. Probably the greatest rivalry in college sports. Saturday, two big games for North Carolina. They win them both. They're positioned pretty nicely for the NCAA tournament. And lastly, Buffalo. Buffalo Bulls, my law school, love that school. They got two big games this week. Akron and Kent State are around the same as them in the standings. If they win the two games, they finish second place in the MAC conference, 1A, not 2 MAC conference, the Mid-America conference. That's a good conference for basketball. Buffalo's in the mix right now to finish second, but they got to close strong. Tough game tomorrow against Akron, Friday night against Kent State. I'll be watching both games. I have no comment about the South Carolina Tar Heels, where my son goes, because they've lost so many games, they don't even matter at this point for getting into a tournament. And lastly, we talked about the Bonnies, St. Bonaventure Bonnies. They're off now to the Atlantic 10 tournament this weekend, or maybe Monday it starts. So this week is the last week of the regular season. This is the last week of the regular season, and starting next week, conference tournaments. Let me tell you why I love college basketball. Because unlike football, where they only pick four teams to play for the national title in football, college football, in basketball, every school gets to go to their conference tournament, no matter what their record is, and if they win their conference tournament, they go to the NCAA tournament. So 300 teams next week have a shot to make the NCAA tournament. Everybody gets a fair shot to get hot in the tournament and go to the NCAA tournament. That's how great this sport is. That every team, 300 plus teams, has a shot. Buzzer beaters, a lot of exciting games, and I'll be watching, and hopefully you'll all be watching. It's going to be a great week next week. All these conferences playing. Thank God we made it to this point. Whoever thought we'd get to this point back in November when everybody was worried about starting the season. But that's what the great thing about college basketball is. Because of the conference tournaments, if you win your conference, you get an automatic entry into the NCAA tournament. Every team in America has a shot to play for the championship. Isn't that cool? Isn't that what's great about this sport? In football, a panel of experts picks the four best teams, and that's who gets to play for the national championship. And by the way, there's three colleges that are in like every time. Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. So there's really only one open spot. College football's a mess because there's no parity, not a lot of fairness. But college basketball is uber fair. Everybody's got a shot. A team could have a losing record going to their conference tournament. They can get hot. They can make a lot of shots. They can win some buzzer beaters. And next thing you know, they're playing for the championship of their conference, and the winner goes to the NCAA tournament. We'll be back in a couple of minutes after the commercial break, and we'll talk with Coach O'Toole. So that should be good. So I'm waiting for the music to come on. All right, there's the music. I'm Jim Misano. This is College Hoops Chat. We'll be right back after the commercial break.
Westchester's favorite morning show.
I love the morning show.
Good morning, Westchester, with Dennis and Tawny. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Okay, folks, we're back on College Hoops Chat. I'm Jim Misano. We're back for the next segment of the show, and we have a guest calling in. I believe he's calling in right now. So this is WVOX 1460 AM College Hoops Chat. I'm Jim Bassano, and I believe on the phone line we have Coach Tim O'Toole. Are you there?
Jim, how are you, pal?
Hey, yes, so happy you called in. Live from are you in Pittsburgh now?
I am in Pittsburgh. Actually, Gibsonia, which is about 25 minutes north of the city. But, yeah, we're here. The weather's starting to get a little warmer, and we're excited about March Madness.
Everybody's excited about March Madness. All right, so let's do a little bit of intro here. This is Coach Tim O'Toole. I talked a little earlier about him on the show. He's the assistant coach at Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Panthers. He comes from White Plains, New York. He went to Archbishop Stepanak up in White Plains, and I remember watching him play basketball against the great Iona Prep Gales. Here's what I remember about you, Coach. I remember that you hustled, you dove for loose balls, and you could shoot. That's what I remember about you. How's that as a description of your high school career?
What did you say about the shooting? I hope you said I was a prolific, unbelievable shooter.
I said you were a good shooter.
I like that.
You were a good shooter. I don't know if you were any Tommy Foley at Iona Prep, but you were a good shooter.
You would have to bring up my nemesis, Tommy Foley. He always seemed to get the better of us, unfortunately. However, it's so fun to think back of that rivalry because it's, you look back, it was always competitive, it was always tough, it's still that way, and Iona, they've always been so competitive, and Tommy was a heck of a player.
He was, and Michael Berkeley, who sadly died on the Twin Towers, but he was a great player for Iona Prep as well, and you had a guy, a giant guy, I'm going to say the name because it's still in my head, because we used to have to do a box and one against him, Coach, Larry Blucher.
Yeah, Bluch was there, and Frankie Henderson was a great shooter.
Yes.
There was a guard, and Bluch ended up going to UConn, and that's true. That team, you talk about those two teams right there, they were a year older than me, but when they were sophomores, they, you know, Stepanak and Iona Prep, and I think Iona lost to Power in the finals that year, but it was just an amazing run because, again, especially, you know, Power was Chrissy Mullen and those guys, and but that's how good Iona Prep was. Stepanak was right there as well, and anyway, fun to think back.
Hey, yep. The games were close. I remember my time, Iona Prep Stepanak in both football and basketball. Every darn game was close.
It's so true. I had brothers that went to Stepanak. Brendan graduated in 74. My brother Bobby graduated in 82. And the first game I ever remember going to was in 1975 when Billy Harrington.
Billy Harrington, the older brother.
He hit the shot at half court. One of the guys at Stepanak missed the free throw. They kick it out, and Billy Harrington hits a half court shot at the buzzer at Iona to win. And literally, I'll never forget that moment because back then those two schools hated each other, and both sides let each other know. And Billy Harrington was a hero that night. And I swear I never forgot that. And if you ask Billy, he'll tell you about it as well. So
I will ask you. You know, he's a friend of mine. I'm a lawyer. I've had cases with him. He's a great guy. And his friend Brian was a year ahead of me and played for Villanova. And Brian was on the show a couple of months ago.
Well, how great is that? Because the Harrington family.
Great people.
They're the best.
All right, so.
Mr. Harrington was special. Billy and Brian.
Yes, absolutely.
And Brian was slightly ahead of me. But Brian, great player and a great human being. And, lucky. It's funny, you know. Especially as you get older, that rivalry, you start liking those guys from Iona Prep more and more.
I know. I like you guys now. I didn't like you Stepanak guys in high school, but now I like you. What am I going to do? I met a lot of nice Stepanak alumni. I got to like you guys.
I'll tell you what, it's tricky to navigate. No question about that.
Well, I don't think you would have got on the radio show about 30 years ago, but you're getting on tonight, so this is good stuff. All right, so let's get to some issues, Coach. How about that?
Okay.
I saw your name in the New York Post in consideration to be the next Fordham University coach. Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's always an honor when you're mentioned for any job. You realize how few there are. And Fordham is interesting because it's always been very special to me. You know, I mentioned in 75, my dad took me over to see, you know, Stepanak play Iona Prep. He also took me to Rose Hill for the first time in my life. And that was for the Catholic High School Finals when Cardinal Hayes played Bishop Lachlan. It was one of those things where, you know, as a young kid, you're starting to see these guys. And in grammar school, high school is always that next thing. And so you start seeing these guys, and that's who you always want to try to emulate. And from that moment on, that was my first, entree into Rose Hill. A couple of years later, we end up, I go to Fairfield, and Fordham's in the league, and we always competed against them. And back then, Iona and Fordham were the two best teams in the league. So if you were any good, you had to kind of go through them. And then my first job in coaching, I worked for a gentleman by the name of Nick Makarchik, who was just an absolute tremendous man. He gave me my first crack in this business as a GA at Fordham. I ended up getting my master's degree in finance from Fordham. And he was one of these guys that he not only introduced me to the business of coaching, but he also he forced me to go get my MBA. And it was one of these things where, I was in athletics. Everybody else in the MBA program was coming up with Wall Street. But it was one of these things that really helped shape me. And so I'm always incredibly grateful.
That's a great story.
The opportunity that I had,
I'm looking at your resume. You've not only were the head coach at Fairfield, but you were an assistant coach at Fordham, Army, Iona, Syracuse, Duke, Seton Hall, Stanford, California, and Pittsburgh. It's pretty unbelievable.
It's from a kid from White Plains that just, was always in love with the gym, found himself in gyms. I had older brothers that, again, I just mentioned Brendan and Bobby, had a group of friends. We all played basketball. And this was my dream, and this was my passion. And, and I've been so lucky and so blessed. And one of the things that I've learned, especially, you mentioned a couple of those schools, you really understand about the power of culture. And especially, you just mentioned Fordham, but, when you're at Stanford and when you're at Duke and even Pittsburgh and Syracuse, they're schools that are ranked in the top 60 U.S. News and World Report. And Fordham's like that, too. When you're at great academic schools that also have, big-time athletics, you get an appreciation of how this thing is done and done the right way.
Absolutely.
And again, I've just been so blessed to have worked for great people, great institutions. And part of coaching, you wish to keep sharing that with others.
So, Fordham, it's a tough job. I went to St. Bonaventure. They're in the Atlantic 10, great program. So I go every year to the St. Bonaventure at Fordham game. And I have to tell you, when I go to the game, there's more St. Bonaventure fans than there are Fordham fans. It's a tough program to coach at.
Well, and that's the thing. I think most programs are tough, especially if you ask me in this profession. And I do think one of the things that you have to do is you have to create a culture of excellence. That's one of the things working for coaches, chefs, and even Coach Boeheim and being at Stanford, it starts there. And I remember, leaders create culture. Culture drives behavior. And then behavior eventually dictates performance. And when you think about, again, even at Pittsburgh, because when Jeff Capel was hired at Pitt, Pitt had found itself on hard times, and they reached out into Coach K's tree, and they got Cape because they wanted him to bring back kind of that culture here to Pittsburgh, because it had once been thriving, and then it kind of lost its way. And I do think the same thing, has happened at Fordham to a degree. And, and again, part of that, they're all tough, but you got to figure out, okay, it's a great, great academic school. It's earned that reputation. How do you treat it more than it's just a basketball job, if you would? Because you've got to be aligned with the values of the institution, and then you got to build a program with respect to those values. And that's always been the fun part about what I do. You're coming into a place that if it didn't have problems, it wouldn't be requiring your services.
I thought you did a great job at Fairfield. I remember you had one bad year at the end of your career, but prior to that, you had some really winning teams. They won like 19 games. You did really well there, Fairfield. So I have to think if Fordham was to hire you as their coach, they'd be getting a damn good coach.
You're the best, Jim, especially for an Iona prep coach.
I know. I'm saying this about a Stepanek guy. I can't believe what's coming out of my mouth on this show today.
Awesome. Well, even Fairfield, you look back and, I was 34 years old when I was hired. I was the youngest at that year, the youngest Division I head coach in the country. And, you had a lot of ideas and you probably thought you knew a lot more. But we had great kids. I look back on those teams and the 8 years I was there. And it was truly a blessing. As you mentioned, we did a lot of really good things. And then the last year we kind of faltered. But again, you look back, you learn so much. You were given a great opportunity, and I cherish those moments looking back.
No question. I don't know if you know, Coach, I was a county legislator for 20 years, I served on the Westchester County Board of Legislators representing Neerishaw and Pelham. And I could tell you, when I started, I thought I knew everything. I didn't. By the end of my career, when I was kind of a grizzled veteran of the legislature, I was getting a lot more done for my constituents. I was passing more laws. I learned the system. You know, I learned how to be an effective legislator and get laws passed and help my constituents. Whatever job you're in, you grow in it and you learn.
Well, it's so true. And I was talking to someone recently, and I was reading this book. But I look back and I know there's a difference between being a great chef and being John George, who runs restaurants.
Right.
Right, or Emeril. And I think back then, you know, you had a lot of ideas, you had a lot of recipes, you could cook, but you didn't know how to run a restaurant. And,
right.
Coach, I look back, and so since those Fairfield days, since 2006, I was out in the private sector for a number of years. I taught at Fordham in the graduate school in business, and I also did the television stuff for ESPN. And those 6 years really helped me, because when I got back in at Syracuse and then even Stanford, Cal, and now at Pitt, you see it from a much different lens. And I'm grateful for all those opportunities that I had, the good, bad, and the ugly. And I'm still able to be in this profession that I love and help not only kids grow and develop, but hopefully their programs. And it's been a magical ride.
Right, Coach. All right, so we have about 2 minutes left. I'm going to let's try to do 2 1-minute each questions. Ready?
Yeah.
Pitt, it seems to me, as a long-term fan of college basketball, that you and Coach Capel and your team is starting to get Pitt back towards the good old days of Howland and Dixon.
Yeah, 100%. One of the things when we took over, and Pitt was 0-18 in the ACC, and they had a tough transition when they left the Big East to go into this new conference. No new rivalries, the whole brand thing, you know, the whole thing was brand spanking new, and it kind of struggled. And I do think we are kind of gaining traction in the league, and we're really excited about the progress. And we've got great kids here, and we're really looking forward to the next few weeks here.
I'm a North Carolina fan, so I watch a lot of ACC, and this is the best Pitt team I've seen in about 5 years. Last question, Coach, quick. Give me a name of a team nobody's talking about that's going to win some games in the NCAA tournament.
Well, if it's okay, Jimmy, I'm going to give you two. One was going to be Oklahoma State, but they're in the top 20.
Good.
But the team that's tricky are the Carolina team you just mentioned. No one's talking about them, but you know what? They've got a lot of size, they've got a lot of talent, and they're peaking at the right time.
All right, so Oklahoma State, North Carolina, great choices, Coach. Coach, thank you for calling. Good luck in the rest of the season. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Jimmy. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. All right, folks, great guest, Coach Tim O'Toole. We're going to commercial break. We'll be back with Kenny from Rye.
Hello, rock and rollers. This is Dennis Dion Nardone. Please tune into my rock and roll oldie show every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The best of doo-wop, street corner harmony, soul, and good old rock and roll. Right here on 1460 a.m. and WVOX.com worldwide.
Start your mornings with radio's favorite morning team, Dennis and Tawny, and Good Morning Westchester. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Okay, folks, we are back on College Hoops Chat. I'm Jim Maceno. We're in for our final segment of the show, and I believe on the line is our number one caller, Kenny from Rye. Kenny, are you there?
James, I am here.
All right, great. Great to talk to you. So it's time for our new segment, Bracket Scoop. Kenny and I both picked two teams that we think are getting hot, teams you should keep an eye on, because in about 2 weeks, you'll be filling out a bracket, right, Ken?
Absolutely, absolutely, and we'll see who the surprise teams are.
All right, so we're going to go 1-1. So you go first, name one, then I'll follow with one.
Well, I'll start in what you talked about for a while, which is such an interesting conference because of so many shutdowns. I'm going with Siena this week.
Wow.
I thought it was an interesting choice, and the fact is that their overall record is 11-3, and their conference record is 11-3 because they played no outside games. They've got two games that are very, very, very winnable, the last two games of the year, which puts them at 13-3 going into the MAC tournament. They've got a great player in Manny Camper. He's averaging 14.2 points a game and 10.1 rebounds. And I think they're poised to do particularly well into the MAC tournament. I think from a standpoint, they're playing well now. And as you mentioned before, who's going to have the rust? Who's been shut down too many times? Who's been able to practice and play? And I think playing is going to be the key here. And if they're able to finish these last two games, I think they might be the team to beat in the MAC conference in Atlantic City.
You know, it's tough for me to agree with you on that one as an Iona College Gale fan, but I admit that Camper's probably the best player in the MAC. And Jalen Pickett's a really good player, too. So they got two really good players.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the challenge here for the MAC in general is, I mean, at best, you know, as always, they're going to get their one team in, and I think that's all they're going to get this year. So, 11-3 or 13-3 is not going to mean anything unless you win the tournament.
I agree. All right, so here's your first pick. It's the Siena, the Saints, right?
Correct.
Siena Saints. All right, so I go in next. And my pick was easy. Well, as soon as I thought back for the last 2 weeks, when I thought about a team that's getting hot and is going to cause some trouble in the NCAA tournament, it was easy. Arkansas. No one's really talking about them. They don't get a lot of press. But on January 16th, they got blown out in a game by Alabama. Since then, Kenny from Rye, they've won 9 out of 10. And they're now 19-5 in a good, really good conference, SEC. Their only loss in that streak is to Oklahoma State, who's a darn good team. And they beat Missouri, Florida, Alabama, and LSU. I think they may just win the SEC tournament. KenPom has them at 18. Associated Press has them at 12. I think the Razorbacks are hot at the right time.
I agree with you 100%. And it's interesting because my second team was Tennessee. Staying with the SEC, I think the SEC this year is in particularly strong. Not only in conference, but I think just from a perspective of they're looking to get possibly 5 teams into the NCAA. I chose Tennessee because they're on the bottom side of where Arkansas is probably the hottest team in the SEC. Tennessee has started out hot and has kind of muddled through the last few weeks. They've had a recent tough loss to Auburn. But I think knowing Coach Barnes very well from his stint at Providence College where he won the Big East tournament 1 year, I think from a perspective he does a very, very good job in conference. And I think he'll rally the last game of the year. He's got a tough final game against Florida, but I think that will make a difference for them, and then we'll have to see how they do into the tournament. But I think with their star freshman, Keon Johnson, and the defense that Barnes preaches day in and day out, I think they're a good team. And I think because the SEC is so strong, because of teams like Alabama and Arkansas, that 5 teams into the NCAA is reasonable.
Yeah, I think Tennessee makes the tournament. The only thing with Tennessee is they've had a lot of up and down moments this year. There's times they looked really good, like a team that's going to win a few games in a tournament. The other times they've looked like a team that could lose. So I don't know what team kind of will go into the tournament for Tennessee, but they have a lot of talent.
Yeah, absolutely. They were as high as number 6 in the polls during the year, and that obviously has not been the case in the recent weeks.
And they're well coached. You're right. Rick Barnes is a really good coach. All right, ready from my second choice?
Fourth and final.
I'm going, again, not from the heart. This is from the head as a St. John's fan and you a Providence fan. But I'm going to pick the UConn Huskies. I think James Bouknight just changes that team. They were 4-4 this year without him. They're 8-2 with him. They're 12-6 now. He seems to be healthy now. The other players got better while Bouknight was hurt. The team had to step up and play in the tough Big East. So I think the whole team's kind of gotten better. Bouknight's back. He takes the team to a different place. They got 2 big games this week, Kenny from Rye. They've got Seton Hall on Wednesday, Georgetown on Saturday at home. Tough games. Georgetown's playing better. Seton Hall's a pretty solid team. If UConn can win those 2 games to close out the season, they'd be 14-6 going into the Big East tournament. Watch out for UConn. That's what I would say.
I think it's a great pick, and I agree. Bouknight is probably, if he wasn't hurt, he's probably the clear and obvious favorite for player of the year in the Big East, and I don't think there's anybody else contending. But the period of time that he was out may hurt him or may not, depending on how they finish, as you mentioned. I think what's interesting about the Big East this year is they've had some strong years. This year is obviously a down year in kind of a complicated world. They've got 2 guarantees, most of the polls say, in Villanova and Creighton. So I think it will be extremely interesting going into the tournament. And let's be honest, we've seen and I can speak from personal situation, Providence College has beaten Creighton, and it should have beaten them the first time and beat them the second time, and they're now a quote-unquote a lock. So you've got teams that basically, you know, maybe outside of the bottom two, that if you're going into the tournament in the Big East, that someone is desperate enough to know that if they win the tournament, they're going to get a lock, and I think that UConn is definitely going to be up there.
Big East tournament always has upsets, absolutely. If UConn, although I have to tell you, I think if UConn closes out by beating Seton Hall and Georgetown, they're 14-6, I'd make them the third lock from the Big East for the NCAA tournament, wouldn't you?
Yes. I think from a perspective of usually the room that they give the Big East as a Power Five, that's definitely a possibility. And again, as you say, how you finish matters a lot into the tournament. Using, you know, St. John's last year, they finished well, they got into the tournament, and they looked good before it got shut down. So I think momentum, particularly with college kids, matters an enormous amount. So we'll have to see. But again, you know, when you get to the big stage, although there will be a few fans. I'm not sure what the rules are going into the Big East tournament. But if there are some, that will be a little bit more interesting. But we'll have to see how it plays out in the stadium of 18 that usually sits 18,000 and maybe gets, you know, 2,000 or so. So it will be very interesting to see. But I agree, UConn is definitely on the charge here on the way up, particularly with Book Night.
I agree. So I think the Big East is going to be an interesting tournament because, you know, I think you have Villanova and Creighton, who I think pretty fair to say are the two best teams in the conference. I have UConn as number three. But then everybody else, even DePaul and Georgetown and Butler, the teams that were kind of dragging along at the end this year, they're playing a lot better right now. I think it's a pretty wide open tournament, particularly in this year of the shutdown, year of COVID. It's a crazy year. Nothing would surprise me about what happens in that Big East tournament.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the last week, I mean, Butler beat Villanova. I mean, if you have to think Villanova is playing its best basketball at the end of the year, and as you mentioned, with a lot of juniors and seniors, that should have been a game that they easily won, and they did not. So it does beg to the fact that you say everybody else. So everybody else is gunning for Creighton and Villanova, and that's a problem.
Right, I agree. It's going to be very interesting. And I you know, Creighton's a team. You and I have talked about Creighton a bunch of times off the radio, and I always say to you about Creighton, when Creighton's on their game, they could beat anybody in America, even Baylor and Gonzaga. When Creighton's rolling, they're great, but they're not always like that. They're a team that's up and down all the time.
Well, it's interesting because I've watched them a couple of times, particularly against Providence, and it's a team that relies heavily on outside shooting. Someone like Villanova, they play that what they refer to now as in the NBA and college as the 4-1, which is basically one guy inside who kicks it out to the three-point line. So in college, obviously, when you shoot well, you look great. But that's not how college kids play every day. So Creighton has a tendency to go hot and cold. And I think maybe, you know, to some extent, Villanova has that problem as well, too. And maybe with a season like this, where you had a lot of start and stops and obviously not as many games, the teams that rely on that could be in a little bit of trouble come their tournament as well as the NCAA.
I agree. Usually Villanova, though, when they're not hitting from the outside, they're able to start driving the lane with Moore and Earl, but Robinson Earl. But if they have to change up the game, Villanova is capable of that. I don't know if Creighton is as capable as Villanova is. Oh, they have that guy Bishop who can certainly play down low. But here's the point I want to make about Iowa, Creighton are two teams just like that. I think Villanova a little bit too. If the other team, the opponent of Iowa and Creighton, is making their shots and they have to inbounds the ball, and they can't get the ball out on the run, they're going to struggle. I've watched Iowa like six times this year. If they play a team that's banging a lot of shots in, they're shooting well from the field, Iowa can't get rolling to start hitting their threes, and I think Creighton's just like that.
Yeah, and I love Coach O'Toole's tournament. Obviously, he's got some good inside knowledge on the back of UNC. They're loaded with talent, as we all know. And any team that's not shooting well and has to go inside is going to have a real tough time against UNC.
That's a great point. That's why UNC is a wild card, because their shooting is a little bit questionable. They have all these freshman guards, but their forwards and centers, there's no question. They're big, they're rugged, they can shoot, they can rebound. That makes UNC really tough.
Absolutely.
All right, Kenny, you've took us to the end of the show. Thank you so much. I'll call you Wednesday. We're going to watch the Providence-St. John's game together.
All right, James, I look forward to it, my friend.
Thanks so much. All right, folks.
Thank you.
That's College Hoop Chat for this week. I'm Jim Mazzano.
WVOX. And